introducing Andy Andrews. I'm Tom Ziegler, proud son of Zig Ziegler. Born to Win is my dad's capstone legacy book. 8 decades of wisdom in one place, put together in a way that will inspire you to take action and to start living the fulfilling life you were born to have. This is why I'm so excited that Andy Andrews is the audio voice of this book. Through his speaking and best-selling books, Andy reaches millions of people with a message of hope and encouragement, spreading the Born to Win philosophy. Andy has become a close friend of the Ziegler family, and he has a special love for and bond with my father. All of these are great reasons for Andy to be the audio voice of the book, but they are not the best reason. You see, the best reason is that there was a time in Andy's life when he didn't know, much less believe, that he was born to win. Once he discovered that he was born to win, that he could do something, everything changed. A simple change in belief changed the trajectory of his life, and now he is touching thousands and thousands of others with this same hope. Regardless of where you are in your life's journey, Andy's example is proof that you are, indeed, born to win. And starting today, you can do something that will change everything.
Forward. I met Larry Carpenter for the first time in 1981, when he attended my Born to Win seminar in Dallas, Texas. Following that seminar, Larry moved to Dallas to attend Dallas Baptist University, where I served on the board of directors. Every Sunday, Larry was on the front row of my Sunday school class, usually with 3 or 4 of his college buddies. Little did I realize what a fixture Larry would become and how significant my friendship with him would be through the years. From 1981 to 2007, Larry attended my Born to Win seminar at least once a year, many times with his wife Lisa and their 3 sons, plus more than 100 of his employees and friends. At the final Born to Win seminar, which was held in 2007, I presented Larry with my chrome-handled pump, which I had used at my live presentations for more than 30 years. The story of the pump signifies persistence and dedication to hard work and specific goals, which Larry had personified throughout our 30-year friendship. When I considered whom to ask to write the foreword to this book, there was only one name that came to mind, my student and my friend, Larry Carpenter. The first year I met Zig Ziglar was in 1981. I had been given a copy of his book, See You at the Top, by one of my best friends, Bobby Spain. Bobby had watched me struggle in an attempt to break away from a blue-collar work and home environment and suggested my solution would lie in the hands and philosophy of Zig's Born to Win seminar, taking place in Dallas, Texas. So I signed up. I realized I needed help, but I had no idea my entire perspective on life would change in just 4 days. Zig had studied and learned from many of the great ones, like Earl Nightingale, Dale Carnegie, and many others. Zig often told me his research always included a thorough physiological, psychological, and theological review before he felt comfortable sharing his own principles of success. This statement provided me, as it should you, an additional level of comfort and trust, a trust he has never broken in our 30-year relationship. Zig Ziglar is the most skilled professional in communications I have ever met, heard, or read, and today he is my friend as well as my mentor. Within hours of my first encounter with Zig, he began challenging me. Zig told me I was designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, and endowed with the seeds of greatness. Right from the very beginning, I hit it off with him. The one-on-one special moments of personal attention at that first Born to Win seminar seemed to be a divine destiny, and his messages on CDs forever changed my life. It was later I learned that he'd often speak to 25 to 30,000 people at huge events, but at that time, the only one I was aware of was me. Zig told me there are 3 things you simply cannot do. You can't push a rope, you can't put toothpaste back in a tube, and you can't saw sawdust. The first thing I had to learn was a willingness to let go of the past. Zig taught me that the key to success was centered in the pursuit of action-oriented goals, and I totally bought into Zig's goal-setting philosophy. His 7-step process is incredibly designed with pinpoint accuracy for you, the fortunate reader of this book. I slept with Zig's performance planner under my pillow for 3 years, accomplished more than 200 major goals, and accumulated substantial wealth as the result of taking his advice and implementing his principles. I can assure you that Zig's Born to Win philosophy really does work, and I especially appreciate the balanced approach to life that Born to Win teaches. Along with financial wealth, I enjoy good health, a terrific love of my family, and the spiritual peace of mind that only a life of no regrets can offer. I have a deep sense of joy, living with Lisa, my beautiful, creative wife of 25 years, and my 3 handsome, energetic sons round out my family heritage. I read this book as it was a work in progress, and I've lived and breathed Zig's philosophy. You can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. This process works. The philosophy is true, and the legend and legacy of Zig Ziglar continues. As you pick up this book, within the first 40 pages, the magic, inspiration, and dream of living a life that is simply awesome will suddenly manifest itself through your own personality. Good luck, and buckle in for a 7,500 horsepower fast read that is totally worth the scare of the ride. Larry R. Carpenter, President and CEO, Carpenter Hotel Group, LLC.
Ziglar, Pure and Simple. The Born to Win philosophy is both profoundly simple and simply profound. The concept that you have to plan to win and prepare to win before you can expect to win is simple, but simple doesn't mean it's necessarily easy. And when you dig a little deeper, you understand just how profound it really is. In my career at Ziglar, I tell people I've been in the business for 46 years, since I'm 46 years old. I have worked with many individuals and companies who are seeking a higher level of success. One of my previous roles in the company was to market success seminars. Through the years, we have come up with many interesting and compelling seminar titles and marketing headlines. The idea in a headline is to make it state exactly what the prospects really want, so that they take action right away. The following headline is my all-time favorite, although for obvious reasons, we never used it. Success the easy way in 5 minutes or less, guaranteed, or double your money back. Yep, that pretty much sums up what almost every individual and company is looking for. The bad news is there are no magic pill solutions that allow you to achieve success fast and easy. However, there are several success strategies that will allow you to achieve a higher level of success faster and more easily than you thought was possible. And that is what this book is about, to give you a roadmap for success in pure and simple language. Don't get me wrong, winning doesn't come without work, but focusing on the proven steps and processes to winning will allow the journey to be faster and a ton more fun. 2 words and a phrase. In order to keep things simple, just the way my mind likes it, I want to share with you 2 words and a phrase that I use as key points when I explain to people how to achieve consistent and lasting success. 2 words, identity and hope. For many years, I wondered why Dad had been so successful at motivating people to change, to take action, to try something different or new. Growing up, I thought it was because he was so inspirational, funny, and smart. What Dad says makes sense, and nobody says it better than he does. Yet all these things only explain why people like him, not why they take action. I know trust has a lot to do with it, yet many people hear him only one time and they are inspired to take action. Sure, the foundation for trust was established, but something more than trust had to move them to action. Digging a little deeper and asking the why question, why do people take action? I discovered this scarlet thread. Almost every time Dad speaks, and in almost every book, tape, CD, video, or DVD he has done, he tells his story. In a nutshell, Dad's story goes like this. Born in the heart of the Depression, he was the 10th of 12 children. His dad died when he was 5. Dad started working at age 6, never did well in school, married when he was 20. He started a sales career and failed miserably for several years. An executive of his company told him he could be a champion if only he believed in himself and went to work on a regular schedule. He had always been honest and worked hard, but with this new information, he changed his attitude and his sales career started to take off. Unfortunately, while he would achieve momentary success over the next 20 years, he was still chasing the worldly definition of success and looking for the get-rich-quick solution. Because of this, he found himself having to start over more than 10 times during that 20-year stretch. Stability was not a word to describe Dad. Then, when Dad was 45 years old, his life totally changed as he discovered the eternal purpose with his faith in Christ. The rest is history. Something very interesting happens when Dad tells his story. You start to see people's heads nodding. If you could read their minds, this is what you would see. Wow, I had no idea Zig struggled so much when he was coming up. His dad died when he was 5. His mom had a 5th grade education. He didn't do well in school. When he started in sales, he was horrible. He made and lost money numerous times because of really bad decisions. Wow, if Zig did it, so can I. Suddenly, they identify with Dad, and hope is born. Inspiration is powerful, and Dad may be the most inspirational person on the planet. But inspiration only lasts so long. Hope is much different. When you have the hope that things can change and a plan to make that change possible, then you can take action. When Dad tells his story, it literally flips the hope switch in people because they identify with him. If he can, I can. Now all of a sudden, when Dad suggests that people try something, they do it. Not because they like Dad or because he inspired them or made them laugh, but because if he can, I can. Next time you get discouraged and caught up in your circumstances, just remember what Dad says. You cannot control what happens to you, but you can control how you respond to what happens to you. If he can, you can. A phrase. My simple mind really loves this phrase. Will, skill, and refill. Almost every day I get asked the question, what are the keys to constantly improving my personal or my company's level of success? As Dad says, you build a better company by building better people. So the will, skill, and refill philosophy is a foundation of all of our personal and corporate training. This is how it works. Will. This is the want to. This is the heart, the desire, the attitude, the passion that people have. Skill. This is the how to. This is the skill, the process, the technical expertise that people have. Refill. This is reinforcing the will and the skill. There is no such thing as one and done training and development. Will and skill must be developed and reinforced daily. Take the will away from any person and you will have, at best, someone who has just taken up space. And at worst, someone who is a real drain on their company and their family. Without skill, no matter what you do, you will create an endless cycle of frustration. Without refill, it is impossible to maintain the difference-making levels of will and skill you need to achieve the level of success you desire. Be weird. I love what Dave Ramsey says about being in debt. He says that normal people are broke, so be weird. I agree 100%. As Dad says, I've had problems when I have had money, and I've had problems when I haven't had money. And I've discovered if you're going to have problems, it's better if you have money. Here is the reality. Normal people are not successful in the truest sense of the word. Normal people do not practice will, skill, and refill. I am encouraging you to be weird. Choosing to be successful starts with choosing to do what successful people do. Successful people practice will, skill, and refill on a daily basis. Will, skill, and refill is simple. Remember, I am a simple person, so it has to be. This concept is based on my favorite of all of Dad's quotes. You are who you are and what you are because of what has gone into your mind. You can change who you are and what you are by changing what goes into your mind. Here's how you do it. On a daily basis, even if it's only for 5 or 10 minutes a day, refill your mind with material that helps you build your will or your skill or both. You can read or listen to great material. This book is a great place to start. And as you are listening to this very sentence, you are practicing will, skill, and refill. Dad's favorite example of wheel skill and refill is Automobile University. When you're driving, pop in a powerful CD that builds you up. Personally, I have loaded my iPod with hundreds of hours of life-building material. Of course, my favorite is Dad, and I listen almost every time I work out. There is no such thing as the status quo. Coasting in life, in business, or in your family relationships is not an option. All are either improving or getting worse. The same is true for success. You are either moving closer to success or further from it. This is why will, skill, and refill are so critical on a daily basis. Encouragement is the fuel on which hope runs. Zig Ziglar. As you plan, prepare, and expect to win in life, because you are born to win, never forget that hope is the catalyst that will get you started, and that encouragement keeps hope alive. The daily dose of will, skill, and refill is where you will find encouragement. Remember, you were born to win. Prepare yourself. Expect success. Change the world. Tom Ziglar.
Introduction. In November of 2011, I celebrated the 64th anniversary of my 21st birthday, and I'm still busier than a one-armed man calling on twin sisters. I'm still working on new books and encouraging people everywhere I go. I love every minute of it. Lots of people say they heard I have retired. I always exclaim, "You heard wrong. You should have heard I was re-fired, because I'm not going to ease up, let up, shut up, or give up until I'm taken up. As a matter of fact, I'm just getting warmed up." However, when you get to be my age, you think back over your life and consider how effective you may have been and what you did that made the biggest difference in people's lives. For me, that's an easy answer. In my own life, my conversion to Christ and my marriage made the biggest difference for me. As for the things I did that had the greatest impact on the lives of others, the first is providing audio products for people to listen to in their cars. I've always been an advocate of Automobile University, and through the years, I've received hundreds of pounds of mail from people telling me how they take me with them every day in their daily commute and on business trips. I'm always tickled that I can go just about anywhere, and very few people recognize my face, but when I open my mouth and start talking, heads turn, and often I'm asked if I am Zig Ziglar. My voice is distinctive. And when you combine it with my Yazoo City, Mississippi accent, well, it's not really stepping out on a limb when folks guess that it's me. The second effective thing I've done is a 3-day seminar I offered several times a year for more than 30 years. Originally, the seminar was called The Richer Life Course, but eventually it became known as simply Born to Win. Through the years, I've come to know thousands of people whose lives were transformed materially and spiritually as a result of participating in the Born to Win experience. Possibly you, my friend, have contributed to the stack of mail I've gotten these past 40-plus years. I am so grateful for folks like you who have shared what has been most important and significant to them. As I previously mentioned, the Born to Win seminar and my audio products head the list. But why have they been so effective? What was being taught in those activities that has had such a powerful impact on people's lives? The answer to that question is in the words I've used to describe the Born to Win experience. You were born to win, but to be the winner you were born to be, you have to plan to win and prepare to win. Then and only then can you expect to win. The Ziglar Gold is found in principles and techniques I have taught people that show them how to plan, prepare, and expect to win. This may not sound earth-shaking, but you must understand that these skills and attitudes have the power to transform your life. My own life was transformed by these principles more than 50 years ago by some tough comments made by one of my mentors, my area sales supervisor, Mr. P.C. Merrill. I will share more of my experience with Mr. Merrill later in the book. However, through his instruction and lots of mentoring from others, I learned the power of planning, preparing, and expecting to win. When I learned how to plan each day and set specific goals, I became more focused on the things that really make a difference. When I learned how to prepare myself and equip myself with the tools and skills I needed to be successful, I was able to execute my plans and turn them into winning results. Finally, when I learned how to expect success, it all came together and transformed my life and the life of my family. All this is to say that Ziglar Gold is captured when you acquire the skill set needed to plan, prepare, and expect to win. I've always considered myself to be a professional encourager, and my mission was to help people find hope when there didn't seem to be any. To fulfill that role, I've always tried to give people lots of simple ideas that will help them change the way they think about themselves. As I look back over my career, I see that just about everything I taught really can be categorized as planning, preparing, or expecting to win. Because of that, I have organized this book into three sections that track the best stories, ideas, and principles that relate to those skills. When you finish listening to Born to Win, you will have the absolute very best of the core principles and skills I've shared with people for the past 40-plus years. Let me give you a quick preview of what you will learn in Born to Win. Part 1. Planning to Win. There are lots of parts and subparts you have to put together when you begin to plan your success, but a few things are foundational. Planning has to be based on getting a clear vision of what you want, because without a vision, you don't know which goals to set. Without goals, you have no targets, and without targets, you have nothing to measure how you're doing. So you can see how important a vision is. Getting a clear vision for your future is also important because it plays a huge role in the creation of desire. Did you know that desire is the mother of motivation? Desire is the want to and the motor that fuels and powers sustained success. Desire is important and vision is critical, but there are some personal qualities you must have or acquire to get the best possible results. As a matter of fact, there are six qualities: honesty, character, faith, integrity, love, and loyalty. I've called these qualities the foundation stones in the stairway to the top. You are going to learn how these qualities are critical and how to implement them as you plan to win. Part 2. Preparing to Win. At first glance, you might think planning and preparing mean the same thing. I admit they might look like their first cousins, but I see preparation as much different from planning. Preparation is a matter of equipping yourself to win with the right tools, knowledge, and support it will take to turn your dreams into plans that will make your vision into reality. So, this section of Born to Win will be about how to equip yourself in the best possible way to ensure your planning efforts will be successful. Equipping and preparing yourself to win requires five things. You need the right knowledge to win. You must continually raise your personal performance bar. You must acquire tools that help you work better and faster. You have to practice your skills. And finally, you have to surround yourself with positive influences and people. In summary, you have to train yourself to become a 24-hour champion. Winning involves planning and preparing. Both are a constant improvement, never-ending process. When you stop planning and preparing, you stop winning. 24-hour champions continually equip themselves to win. Part 3. Expecting to Win. I've always said that when you have planned and prepared to win, you then have the right to expect to win. This section of Born to Win is going to show you the power of expectation and what drives it. The ultimate fruit of positive expectation is hope. And it is hope that pulls you forward in all you attempt to do. I'm always hopeful, and I never worry. I can say that because I expect the best possible result in all that I do. I expect the best because I planned my success, prepared myself to execute my plans, and earned the right to expect the best. Desire is the mother of motivation because that is where your motivation is born. Properly planning and preparing heightens your expectations, which fuels your desire and drives you to become even more motivated. Through the years, I've continually heard from individuals from all walks of life whose lives were in a downward spiral until they heard something in my audio products or read something in my books that gave them the will and the skills they needed to change their circumstances and transform their lives. They testify that by putting my simple suggestions into practice, their lives were transformed. Sometimes the transformation was mental, sometimes it was spiritual, and other times it was material. Whatever the transformation, there was a commonality to the core changes they made. These people changed the way they viewed themselves. They became willing to make significant changes, and they came to believe they were born to win. What they really did is to develop the skills and take the necessary actions they needed to plan, prepare, and expect to win. My son Tom and I are co-authors of this book. Together, we chose the most effective information I've taught in 29 books over the past 40 years. After you've listened to this book and Tom's contributions, I believe you will see why I have faith that the Ziegler legacy, along with our pure and simple philosophy, is in good hands for the generations to come. I'm not the kind of guy who says anything is over until it's over, but because of my age, it's possible that this book may be my last. That is why I have dotted every I and crossed every T in this book to make sure it contains the very best of the best of all I've learned and taught in my career. I do believe you were born to win, but I also know that to be the winner you were born to be, you have to plan to win and prepare to win before you can expect to win. There are a lot of things that have to happen before you can change the world. Zig Ziglar. Chapter 1. Wanting to Win. I've always said that man was designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, and endowed with the seeds of greatness. I believe that almost as much as I believe in God. What I mean when I make that statement is that man has the opportunity to achieve greatness and is hardwired to make it happen. Every person has unique gifts, and those gifts give him or her the power and the opportunity to accomplish great things if he or she learns how to use those gifts and channel them in the right direction. Now, you might say, Zig, if that's true, why doesn't everyone achieve greatness? Actually, that answer is easy. Everybody doesn't want to be great, and many people who want to be great aren't willing to do the work to make it possible. The great coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi, wisely stated, "Winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is." The simple truth is that you have to want to do something badly enough before you have the slightest chance of doing it. If you don't want it badly enough, I absolutely guarantee that you will not be willing to do the planning and preparing it takes to get it. Psychologists will tell you in a New York minute, which for your information is 32 seconds, that you invariably and inevitably move toward the strongest impression in your mind. The impressions that are the most vivid in your mind are the things you want to do. That's why desire is so powerful and plays a big role in planning. If you really want to do something, it means that it's something you are going to think about most of the time. When you constantly think about something, you talk about it all the time, and you get lots of new ideas about how to make it happen. When you have lots of ideas about something, it makes planning easier and more enjoyable. Desire also makes you willing to become accountable for your plan, and that makes you more willing to create the plan you need to win. Desire is the mother of motivation. In my first book, See You at the Top, I said, desire is the ingredient that changes the hot water of mediocrity to the steam of outstanding success. What this means is that desire is the catalyst that enables a person with average ability to compete and win against others with more natural talent. You see, my friend, being a winner is much different from having the potential to win. Everyone has the potential. It's what you do with that potential that really matters. Nothing is more inspiring than a person with seemingly mediocre talent rising against the odds to become a champion by way of hard work, effort, and perseverance toward their goals. Obviously, raw talent is important, but the difference maker between first and the rest of the pack is usually desire. I've spent my life studying, thinking, teaching, living, and sharing motivation. I've learned why some people do better than others. As a matter of fact, I've now written 30 books on the subject that have been translated into 40 different languages and dialects, and I've spoken to thousands of audiences in front of millions of people. The Ziglar team has created more than 50 audio programs and hundreds of customized audio presentations through the years. I'm grateful that I've been able to see so many lives transformed through these various methods of communication. My core philosophy on winning and motivation is summed up by saying that you were born to win. But in order to be the winner you were born to be, you have to plan to win and prepare to win before you can expect to win. The playing field of life is not level. And for you to compete in the game of life, you need an equalizer of some kind. In the Old West, the equalizer was the six-shooter. It enabled the little guy to chop a bigger man down to size. Desire is also an equalizer, and nowadays is highly encouraged over a six-shooter. Desire creates an edge. Desire produces the energy to get out of bed when you don't feel like it. Desire gives you the power to run the last 100 yards of a marathon when you think even one more step is impossible. Desire gives you the will to do the tough things your competition may not be willing to do. Desire is the mother of motivation because it is where motivation is born. Desire will pull you across the finish line and give you victory. There are two questions you might ask at this point. How is desire created, and what does it have to do with planning to win? Since I'm here to help you with the hard ones, I'm going to answer both of those questions in this chapter. Desire is born with vision. To understand how desire connects with planning, you have to understand how desire is created. Desire is created when something happens in your life that suddenly changes the way you see yourself in relationship to your future. We all have moments in our lives that are turning points, crossroads, where something happens that can shape the direction of our future. Some of these turning points can be dramatic, and others may be subtle. But I want to encourage you to be looking for these turning points and seeking out your purpose and passion as you engage in the planning, preparing, and expecting to win process. I vividly remember the exact day when one of these turning points happened in my professional life. I was one of 12 children raised by a single widowed mother in Yazoo City, Mississippi, during the Great Depression. We struggled and worked hard to make ends meet, and although we never had a lot of extra things, we always had what we needed. When I was a young boy, I worked around our little home doing chores, and when I was 9, I got a job at a grocery store in town. At that point in my life, I saw myself as a little guy from a little town who would always live in Yazoo City. That type of thinking was the result of my experience growing up. I had no idea that other possibilities might exist for me. I entertained the idea of owning my own store, or meat market to be exact, but I never really felt over-the-top excited about it. I wasn't excited about it because it was not my vision. It was just an idea that was presented to me by my boss as a possibility. You might say I was a wandering generality instead of a meaningful specific. I was wandering around with no direction and no plan to win. After I grew up and married my beautiful redhead, Jean Abernathy, who I call Sugar Baby, I got a job as a door-to-door salesman in the cookware industry. The first 2.5 years, I sold a lot. I sold our furniture, our china, and Silver, the dog. Just kidding. But it was no joking matter that we struggled financially, and we were in hot water all the time. One cold, snowy morning, I went to a meeting where Mr. P.C. Merrill, the divisional supervisor from Tennessee, took an interest in me. Mr. Merrill said, "Zig, you have the ability to be a great one." Frankly, I'd never heard words like that. As a child raised during the Depression, the emphasis was on survival, not being great. Now, here was a man for whom I had the utmost respect, a man who was my hero, a man of integrity, and he was emphatic that he really believed I could be the best cookware salesman in the country. But he also had some constructive criticism. He said, "You know, Zig, I've been watching you for 2.5 years, and I have never seen such a waste." Now, friends, that will get your attention. Somewhat startled, I asked what he meant. He explained, "You have a lot of ability. You could be a great one and maybe even become a national champion." Naturally, I was flattered, but a little skeptical, so I asked if he really meant it. He assured me, "Zig, there is no doubt in my mind that if you really went to work on an organized schedule and started believing in yourself, you could go all the way to the top." Mr. Merrill's words gave me hope that I could change and caused me to believe for the first time in my life that maybe I did have more to offer than I'd ever realized. Looking back, Mr. Merrill's words helped me make the decisions that changed my life. I turned his words over and over in my mind and got more excited by the minute. On that day, for the first time in my life, I suddenly had a clear vision of a future I really wanted, and I also noticed that something else was building inside of me. It was desire. The desire to make it happen started to build. Mr. Merrill planted a seed when he told me I could be great at something, and I believed him. My vision of my future started to change immediately, and I wanted that new future. As my desire grew, I became sick and tired of being sick and tired. I wanted to change, and more important, I felt empowered to turn that new vision into reality. I took immediate action. Now, you may be listening to this book and thinking, "Zig, I don't have a Mr. Merrill in my life." Yes, you do. I am your Mr. Merrill. I honestly believe I have felt your feelings. I have walked in your shoes. You have made some mistakes, and you may not be where you want to be, but that has nothing to do with your future. I'll say it again and again. You can start from where you are with what you've got and go to where it is you want to go. Yes, you were literally born to win. My goal is to give you new hope in this game of life and turn that new hope into a brilliant new picture for your future. I want you to know that when you prepare yourself, you can expect success. Many decades have passed since Mr. Merrill's empowering words gave me a new vision for my life and the powerful desire to become what he said I could be. I see looking back that even though we may have a vision and a strong desire to attain it, seeing the end of it is not always possible. We can only see so far because our experience limits us. But I also learned that we should embrace the vision and fuel our desire. As we work with purpose and pursue our passion, we will be able to see farther. And when we get there, we'll be able to see farther again. In my case, I first had a vision of becoming a national sales champion, and I accomplished that in a few short years. In the process of accomplishing that goal, I developed another vision that was even more powerful. I wanted to become a public speaker, and that turned out pretty well, too. Commitment and perseverance are powered by desire. If you could somehow count all the books that have been written on what it takes to be successful, the number would be astronomical. A significant number of those books, including several I've written, emphasize the importance of taking action on the ideas and opportunities that present themselves in life. The fact is that you can have lots of good ideas, and you can be exposed to many great opportunities, but if you don't do something about them, they might as well be non-existent. It's pretty amazing how most people put off taking the necessary actions to acquire the things they want and then complain about how they never get a break. There are many reasons people find to justify not taking action, but the absence of desire is one of the root causes. They just really don't want it badly enough. This is a fatal condition when you're trying to be successful. We all know that life is tough. Many times our best plans turn sour as we pursue our goals and dreams. For that reason, there are two qualities every person must have to fuel their desire and sustain their pursuit of success. Those two qualities are commitment and perseverance. You need commitment to produce the focus and consistency you need to keep your eye on the target. Then you need perseverance to make it over the rough spots and setbacks you will most certainly experience along your journey to success. Commitment is the solution to help you overcome the distractions you will face in life and help you stay focused on what really matters. Today, most of our society is up to their necks in the internet and all that comes with it. Don't get me wrong. I think the information we now have at our fingertips is astounding. And information is a key ingredient in being informed and equipped with the knowledge we need for success. But the level of information in this day and time is far more than any one person can possibly handle and process. You might say we live in a time of information overload. The result of information overload is usually distraction, and it dilutes your focus and takes you off your game. In golf, if you take your eye off the ball, you will flub it, top it, slice it, hook it, or maybe miss it entirely. Information overload has the same effect. It can cause us to take our eye off the small things we need to consistently do in order to get the results we need. Commitment is about binding ourselves to a specific course of action. People who are committed realize they have to do specific things to get specific results, and they know the results they want. Simply stated, commitment, which is fueled by desire, helps us stay on track to achieve our goals and ultimately win. Many of you may have heard me tell the story of how I was a boxer earlier in life, but I had to quit because of my hands. The referee kept stepping on them. When Muhammad Ali fought George Foreman in 1974 for the heavyweight championship of the world, he used a strategy he called rope-a-dope. Ali leaned in on the ropes, covered his head, and let Foreman pound on him for 7 rounds in hopes that Foreman's superior strength and punching power would be exhausted and make him vulnerable to Ali's speed and quickness. I don't know about you, but the idea of letting someone like George Foreman hit me repeatedly is pretty frightening. And I'd feel that way before he threw his first punch. After he actually started pounding on me, I might have second thoughts about maintaining the strategy. But Ali did maintain the strategy, and it paid off for him in round 8, when Foreman was so worn out from pounding on Ali, he could hardly hold his arms up. Ali suddenly came off the ropes and landed 2 rights and a massive left hook that sent Foreman to the canvas. Perseverance on the part of Ali had carried him through to victory in one of the greatest fights in history. Many times as we go through life, we get pounded on, just like Ali did in the ring that night with Big George Foreman. When tough times happen, we have to persevere through those difficulties and keep pressing on to our ultimate goal and vision. When we get knocked down, we have to get back up and keep on fighting. We must stay focused and remember our greatest victories are still ahead. More often than not, too many people give up when they get more resistance than they bargained for. Things just seem to get a lot tougher and more difficult than they're willing to deal with. If they fail to persevere through those times, they will fail permanently. If you don't finish something, it won't be complete, and until something is completed, it isn't finished. Much about success is just the result of simply the ability to follow up, follow through, and finish what we started. You're not beaten by being knocked down. You're only beaten if you stay down. Personally, I believe I quit my sales career, in my own mind, more times than anybody who will ever listen to this book has thought about quitting. It was discouraging to be broke, in debt, uncertain of what I was doing, and not really knowing from one day to the next whether I would sink or swim. It's times like that when faith, hope, courage, dedication, and persistence are of the utmost importance. I'll have to admit it was tough, and discouragement was a frequent companion of mine. I often had to buy 50 cents worth of gasoline at a time. And if I made a mistake in addition, I would have to place one or two items at the grocery store back on the shelf. I've had my lights and telephone temporarily disconnected when I couldn't pay the bill. And I've even had to return a car when I could not make the payment. When our first daughter was born, the hospital bill was only $64. The problem was, we didn't have $64. I had to make two sales in order to get the money together to pay the bill. These were all embarrassing and humiliating circumstances, but fortunately, they were not the end of the world. I had a couple of things going for me that made the difference. I was committed to what I was doing, and the desire I had to win gave me the ability to persevere through the tough times. My dream to be a professional speaker was born in 1952. And though it was not until 1970 that I could pursue my dream on a full-time basis, planning for that career began immediately. It was 1972 before my speaking career really exploded. I was 45 years old. However, during the course of the preparation for what was to be, I always stayed grounded in my philosophy and the principles I adhered to. I altered ways in which I delivered my message in those early years, but I was fixated on the principles because I had a powerful vision of how I could help others, and I had a powerful desire for it to become a reality. The combination of vision and desire gave me the commitment to stay the course and the perseverance to keep pursuing my dream. Desire enhances your ability to plan. When you spend the time necessary to plan your future, you are actually engaged in a process that is outlining the things you need to do to fulfill your vision in life. Is there a possibility that you're not as far along in life as you'd like to be? If so, do you feel it is because you're not made of the right materials and do not have the natural ability to be successful? Or is there more than just a chance that you were born to win, but you've simply been following the wrong blueprint, plan of action, or no plan at all for your life? Obviously, I have no doubt you were born to win. But remember that before you can win, you must plan to win and prepare to win. Then and only then can you expect to win. Planning to win is the first step in the winning process. And unfortunately, people resist making a plan. After all, nothing is more embarrassing than creating a plan and then failing to successfully execute the plan. You have to come up with a lot of excuses about why the plan didn't work. Fear is the fatal killer of desire. Fear of failure is a big part of the reason why people procrastinate and avoid putting their plans in writing. Plus, planning is hard work. Desire is the difference between you being an enthusiastic planner, passionately working through all the things you need to do to be successful, or just going through the motions of planning like an item on a checklist. I hope you see that planning can either be embraced as an exciting opportunity to win or avoided as an obligatory exercise or task. When you really want something, when you desire it and you're excited about it, you look forward to planning and preparing because you get to do it. The key words here are get to do. If you have the kind of desire I've shared with you in this chapter, planning becomes something you get to do rather than something you have to do. And we all know that we do a much better job with a get-to attitude. What do you really want? Before you go any further in the planning to win process, it's a good idea to do a desire inspection on yourself. Why? Because if you don't have a real desire to do something, your heart won't be in it. The question we need to ask ourselves is, why do I want to do or accomplish this? If you're unable to answer the why you want something question in one simple sentence, it probably isn't a true desire of yours, so you can let go of that idea. Weight loss is the simplest example that I can give you of how this process works. For instance, if you want to lose weight, your reasons might be that weight loss will make you healthier, and you'll feel and look better too. If you're clear about your vision and you really want to achieve it, you will know what you want and why you want it. When you know what you desire, you can enthusiastically create an action plan to achieve it, and you will be genuinely motivated to follow through. My friend, you already have that desire, and in the next chapter, I'll show you how to take that desire and begin to win.
This is Brian Heathman, president of Made for Success. Thanks for listening to this Made for Success production of the Born to Win audiobook by Zig Ziglar and Tom Ziglar. This audiobook is read by one of Zig's favorite performers, New York Times best-selling author Andy Andrews. Zig Ziglar believes that everyone is born to win. Using Zig's three-step process of planning to win, preparing to win, and expecting to win, anyone can enjoy good health, find a new depth of love, be grateful for family and friends, achieve financial security, and find spiritual peace of mind. This entertaining and thought-provoking audiobook, complete with a bonus workbook, will help you get your work and family life into perfect balance. Pick up a copy of Born to Win today at madeforsuccess.com or your favorite retailer, and we will see you at the top.